Amen. This morning I'm reading from Mark. I'm so awkward today. I forgot to print it out, so I gotta find it in here. Mark 6. Matthew, Mark. Okay. My grandfather had a poem. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, hold the horse while I get on. You can always remember the Gospels, right? Hear the Gospel of our Lord. He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went out among them, among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured. Here ends the Gospel of the Lord. Trust. So, I've been spending the summer looking at the Gospel of Mark through the commentary of R.C. Sproul. Reverend Sproul is a Reformed theologian. My friend Bill, who I met in the seminary, he met Sproul 20 years ago. He said Sproul was a philosophy major and had very logical arguments, that he tended to be very black and white in his views. Maybe that's why I'm enjoying his writings. They're very clear. So our text this morning could easily be two separate sermons. Sproul has these verses as two chapters in his commentary. Jesus sends out his disciples, but we don't want to skip verses 1-6 where Jesus is rejected in his hometown. Sproul spends some time explaining the location of Nazareth in relationship to the Sea of Galilee. So for the last 2 weeks, we were spending our time around and on the Sea of Galilee. Now Jesus has walked 25 miles southwest to his hometown of Nazareth. We don't know why he went home. We do know that the disciples went with him and he was there for the Sabbath. So maybe it was the mandatory Sabbath dinner with mom. Nazareth was a small town, so I wanted to compare it to Blomberg. Why not? The village of Nazareth sat on 60 acres, while the village of Blomberg encompasses 391 acres. But the population of Nazareth was greater than Blomberg, 500 compared to our 280. And Blomberg and Nazareth share a geographic similarity, a rocky hillside. So Jesus goes into the synagogue and he's reading and he's speaking, which was not unusual at that time. Any adult male was free to speak in the synagogue. All right, no females. But the adult men can do it. Their astonishment wasn't that he was speaking. Their astonishment was in what he was teaching. And they said, what is this wisdom that has been given to him? Jesus was teaching like a rabbi. He was training disciples like a rabbi, but Jesus was not a rabbi. Jesus had not studied under any rabbis. He had apprenticed under Joseph to be a carpenter or a stonemason. The men in the synagogue didn't know what Jesus's credentials were. He was just a carpenter. Carpenters were considered lower class, menial laborers, which was part of their ridicule of Jesus. The other reason for their ridicule was that Jesus came from that family. You know that family. We have the luxury of a 2,000-year-old rearview mirror. We know who Jesus's mom and dad were. But the people in Nazareth, they weren't so sure. Mary was pregnant, she wasn't married yet. There's a lot of questions in that family tree. So the people of Nazareth, they were scandalized and offended that Jesus came up in the synagogue and was trying to teach them. So Jesus quotes the prophet about being without honor. Because the people of Nazareth were rejecting Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit was not available for him to do miracles there. He was able to heal a few people, and then he went out to the neighboring villages. Sproul spends some time in his commentary writing about how the people of Nazareth rejected Jesus and how the Holy Spirit was not available. He says, we still encounter people who don't believe and won't believe anything. They don't want to know anything to do about this carpenter. When we reject Jesus, the Holy Spirit is not available to us. So Jesus moved on, preaching and teaching and healing in the neighboring villages. He must have parted ways with his disciples at some point, because now he calls them back. Classic mission work. First we're called, then we're sent. Up to this point, the disciples have been students. Now they're being sent out, commissioned by the master, and now they're transitioning to apostles. Jesus gives them the authority or power over unclean spirits, demons. Why? Sproul says that successfully commanding demons reveals the authority that was given to the 12. Some miracles can always be explained. If we remember Moses back in the book of Exodus, Pharaoh's magicians could do some of the same miracles that Moses did. But having authority over demons, that's only from God. Jesus tells the disciples to travel light. They could take a walking stick and wear light sandals, but only wear one tunic. They were not to take a bag, which was understood to mean a beggar's bag, not a suitcase or a man purse. An extra cloak or tunic was used against the elements if you had to sleep outside. So Jesus was telling them that they would not need to sleep outside. 2 years ago, when us ladies went out to Seattle, I got to Newark Airport with my suitcase, because you know, you're going on a cruise, you're gonna need evening clothes and daytime clothes and a coat because it's cold, it's Alaska. I got to the scale and I was way overweight. Luckily, my sisters were not, and I was able to move some of my things into their suitcases. How about you folks that came up from Florida? Going to New Jersey, right? It might snow, it's New Jersey. It might be hot, it might be cold, might rain, might not rain. Could just get attacked by cicadas. You have to come prepared for all that stuff. Jesus said, no, just get on the plane with what you're wearing. Yeah, I didn't use half the stuff I packed to go on the cruise. They were told to travel light. They were told to stay put. Whoever in the town offered offers hospitality first is where you are to stay the whole time. So do not look for a better offer. Maybe you're sleeping with the sheep and somebody offers you a rooftop. Thank you, but no thank you. I'll stay with the sheep. Trust is the name of the game. Trust God for everything that you will need. I enjoy reading Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch woman. She was a member of the Reformed Church. And she was the author of The Hiding Place. Because her family hid Jews during World War II, her family was arrested. And her sister ended up in a concentration camp. Now, Corrie, throughout her life, had been learning from her father how to trust her Heavenly Father. She knew how to trust God, but she was surprised herself when this happened. Somebody was able to smuggle in a little bottle of vitamins, little drops of vitamins. So she's like, all right, and she's giving everybody a drop of vitamins in the barracks where they lived. Bottle's not empty. The next day, still the bottle's not empty. The bottle never emptied, because God knew that they needed those vitamins because of the diet or lack of diet that they were on there. He knew, and Corrie was able to trust that that bottle would not ever go empty. I love to trust God. And then God gets to show me God's amazing powers, whether it's finances or health or relationships. God's in charge and wants us to have what we need, not what we want, because I really want a winning lottery ticket. All right, I know you got to be in it to win it, and I'd never buy one, but wouldn't it be nice? God is so good. Jesus warns his disciples to be prepared for rejection. He just showed them firsthand when they went to Nazareth. The way Jesus behaved in his hometown was how he wanted the disciples to behave when they were rejected while out on the road. And when they were rejected, they were to shake off the dust and keep moving. This goes back to antiquity, when you didn't want to bring the corruption, the contamination from the pagan countries back into Israel. Now, Sproul uses the King James Version of the Bible for his commentary. We use the NRSV here. So the King James has an additional verse that we don't have in our NRSV. This verse is, "Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." Sproul, like I said earlier, is logical and very black and white in his writings. He says there will be degrees of sin and degrees of obedience, so there will be degrees of judgment. Sproul says, "Jesus said that our reward in heaven will be according to the measure of obedience that we give in this life." So I don't know why these verses are in some versions and not in other versions, but because I'm looking at Sproul, I needed to see those verses today. And the disciples had a successful trial run. Sproul calls it a micro picture of the mighty and ongoing missions of the church. Trusting is so hard. Today's July 4th. The celebration of our independence from England. That's the extent of my trashing England, that's it. Sorry, that's it. I know. We call today Independence Day. But being dependent on another country and being dependent on God are very different things. Trusting God for our daily bread, trusting God for our health, trusting God with our relationships feels counter to how we as Americans are raised. We're told to pull up our bootstraps, be independent, do for ourselves. But God says, look at me, look to me for your needs. Look to me and I will give you rest. So as we go about our day, enjoying this July 4th, enjoy your day. And if you have to pay for anything today, it's right here. Remember, all of our money says, in God we trust. Amen.